Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Excuse me so very much. I apologize. Some saliva went down the wrong pipe. Amen, amen, amen. Well, good morning, beloveds. Good morning. Again, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host here on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And, of course, we have our beloved baby girl. Oh my goodness, I didn't click her in yet. Okay. I'm so sorry, sweetheart. I am so sorry. Go ahead and tell the folks who you are.
And I am your co-host, Tabika Garnes. Good morning.
Good morning, sweetie. Good morning. I don't know whether I need to turn my volume up or the volume on your end needs to be up, but you sound a little faint.
Okay, is this better?
Oh, yes, much, much better, much better.
Okay.
Thank you so very much. All righty. All righty. All right, folks. So, here we are again today. Here we are. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. We are here today. Let me say good morning to Tamika Shelton. God bless you, woman of God. And to your mother, my dear friend, my coach, my cohort. I'm telling you, just more than I can share with you. This is Joyce, Tamika's mom, my longest supporter. To God be the glory. God bless you this morning. Then to, praise God, Deacon Thomas Farr, the Crawfords in North Carolina, my nephew in Pennsylvania, the cousin that I spoke to last week in New York, to Prophetess Dorn, to Joyce in New York, to Prophetess Kim. Okay, y'all get the picture here? You know, and the list goes on. The list goes on and on and on. So good morning to each and every one of you. So glad to have you here with us today. And Tabika, is there anyone, my love, that you want to say good morning to?
As always, I just want to say good morning to our callers, our listeners. We appreciate the time that you take out to spend with us on a Saturday morning. You could be asleep or doing something else, but you decided to join us this morning. So I just wanted to say thank you. I wanted to give a big shout out to my husband, who is my biggest fan. just want to say good morning to him as well. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, we are going to go into prayer this morning. And you know how every Saturday I say, you know, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And this Saturday I want to touch on something that a person would definitely have a hard time giving God praise in. And there are lots of situations, you know, where people would have a hard time giving God praise. And I don't want anyone to think that I take it lightly when I say, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And I do also say that no matter what's going on in your life, you can find something to praise God for. And for some, that is easier said than done. And I realize that even more and more. So therefore, those of us that can still praise God. Oh, my God. Whew, that can still praise God and praise him not so much for the situation, but you praise him in, tells us to give him thanks. In all things, we are to give thanks. So, but to praise him in the situation, we are going to also praise God for those who can't, who don't have a voice. Thank you, Father. Who don't have a voice, who feel so hopeless and helpless that they can't get the words out. They can't even fathom in their mind to praise God in the situation. It just doesn't come at a time about like dealing with some of the stuff I want to speak about today. And I am so sorry. Let me apologize. I am so sorry that I did not put this word out earlier or put it out last night, that I didn't put it out because I feel that we would have had more callers than usual to call in today, and that's my neglect. And for that, I apologize. And with the help of the Lord and the help of Minister Tabika, I intend to be more prepared to do these things and to do it right so that we can give you a better show. I know we give you a good show, but I want to get it to where it's a better show and where it becomes the best. So it's good, better, and best. And so we've got to work on the better part now. And I know if I had done this in the proper manner, that we would have had more callers today. So for this, like I said, I do apologize. I do apologize. Okay. All righty. So let us go ahead and open in prayer, praise God, and then we're going to get into this. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I do thank you. I honor you. I bless your holy name because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the great I Am, the Alpha and the Omega, and there is none like you. Father, I thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And as I spoke, Lord God, earlier, Lord, I said there are people that are in situations that they can't get the idea of giving you praise in this day. There are people that are in situations, Lord God, that would prefer not to have seen this day. Oh, my God. They would have preferred not to have seen this day come about. So, Father, for them, I want to lift up a prayer for them, Lord God. I want to say, first of all, forgive us all for the sins that we have committed. Forgive us, Lord God, and may the spirit of repentance, that we repent and turn away from our evil ways, O Lord God. Father, I'm asking you to hear the prayers, O God, of the men and the women, Lord God, who have not yet turn their lives over to you. I'm asking you to hear the prayers, O God, of the people, Father, that have turned their lives over to you, find themselves in a horrible situation, Lord God, and don't know which way to turn. And even now, Lord God, I turn away from me saying I'm asking you to hear their prayers, because God, I know you do hear their prayers. So I know you do hear your prayers. I'm asking for an answer to be released from heaven. I'm asking you to speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, speak to our spirit, Lord God, that we may, Lord God, be the men and the women that you called us to be. Speak to that homeless man or woman. Speak to that mother with her children sleeping in cars. Speak to the people that are in the shelter, in nursing homes, in hospitals. People have been diagnosed with diseases that man say that they cannot survive and yet, Lord God, you are the great healer. Speak to the woman, Lord God, that's in a domestic violence situation right now, even as I speak. speak to, Lord God, the man, Lord, that's raising his fist against somebody, God. Speak to the children, Lord God, dealing with drugs and abuse and sexual issues and all kinds of mess. Holy Spirit, come in the name of Jesus. Lord, just like my grandson, Father God, speak to those that have mental diseases, Lord God. Lord, you are greater than all of this. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, come and break the chains that bind us. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Oh, God, that you would be glorified, that you would be glorified, oh, God. Bless each and every one of us today, Lord God. Father God, those people that are attached to us, connected to us, God, you know what the need is. Bless us, bless us, bless us, that we may be free, that we may be made whole, oh God. Bless us, oh God, so that we can bless somebody else, so that we can encourage somebody else, Lord God. Father, touch, heal, deliver, and set free. Go through these telephone lines now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, and set somebody free in the name of Jesus. Lord, by your Spirit, draw them unto you. And we give you all the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Y'all, wow. I am overwhelmed and emotional at this time in dealing with this. I really am. Just a couple of weeks ago, my daughter's goddaughter, I call the child my granddaughter, was involved in a domestic violence incident. She was in a domestic violence incident, and she's 21 years old, 21 years old, and that thing rocked my world. And I know that y'all have heard before that there's a member of our church, Christy Johnson, who has a ministry or a nonprofit organization called Finding Your Destiny. And this was created and given the name Finding Your Destiny because her 19-year-old daughter was murdered by her abuser, her boyfriend. She was murdered by him. And he did not serve time for that case, that incident. He did not serve any time. He hung her, and therefore he made it look like that she committed suicide, and they couldn't that he hung her. Yet they had a year of where there were calls to the police, where the man had stalked her, threatened her, you know, all kinds of stuff. All of this they had. And the very day the young lady, protection order against him, the very day that she got one, that is the day he murdered her. Now, mind you, he had put a tracker on her. He knew exactly where she was all the time. And all of this could be proven. It was not enough for them to incarcerate him, find him guilty of this crime. And the mother said to him, judge and the lawyers and so forth, if you let him go, he's going to do this again. If you let him go, he is going to do this again. And sure enough, within a year, he started dating someone else, and he murdered that woman, and he dismembered her. Now, you hear me? He dismembered the second person and hid her in a park, her body part. He hid it in a park. Then he was picked up for something else, and he was high enough at the time that he got picked for that something else that he confessed to dismembering this girl and leaving her in a park. So they got him on that, and yes, no. And they still will not reopen for his daughter, whose name was Destiny. And that is the name of her nonprofit agency, Finding Your Destiny. And that is dealing with domestic violence. So I'm telling you, folks, when you are in situations such as domestic violence, when you're getting beaten every day, when these things are happening to you, I understand how hard it is for someone to give God praise in the midst of it. I understand. And that's why we must pray for one another. We must keep one another covered and pray for them. Like I said, I wish I had done more just to got people on ahead of time, you know, that could actually speak to the situation. But we're going to speak to the situation. And Deacon Farr, are you there, beloved? Are you there? With
Amen.
Us?
Praise the Lord. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes,
hello.
I can hear you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Okay.
Amen.
And you have
Amen.
Also another caller that wishes to speak. But for the other caller, 86 is your last four digits. Hold on one moment. Hold on just one moment. Okay. Deacon Farr, I know that, you know, you and I last year or the year before, I don't even remember, but we had done in the month of October when it's domestic violence month, we had, you know, dealt with a lot of agencies, had a lot of people on that we talked to, and so forth and so on. And I'm wondering if at all, you know, during the course of your ministry and so forth, have you talked to any men at all who actually were the abusers in relationships? Have you talked to any?
Well, over doing it, we have. I got connected with a couple of domestic violence organizations here in Howard County, here in Anne Arundel County, and there's a lot of programs out there that deal with what we call abusers and past abusers,
uh-huh.
who men who seek counseling and seek help, and it's a lot. It's a lot to it, you know. First, let me say this. Okay. You know, it is something. Here in Maryland, the laws have a lot of change in the laws over the last 5 years dealing with this. Because one of the basic things when we talk about domestic violence is if they were strangers somehow because they live together or sleeping together, they treat the violence differently than if I just walked up in the street and smacked a woman in her face. That's assault and battery. But if I'm living with her somehow, it's not the same thing. But I could say that here in the state of Maryland, in a lot of jurisdictions in these local counties, they're starting to handle it differently, and it goes straight to it goes straight to the criminal court. But also in that, you know, when the thing goes to court, there's a lot of programs out here to help abusers, both male and female. You know, and that's the other thing that I've learned a lot about, that it's both sexes, and it's really about partnerships and relationship violence between two people who are in a domestic relationship and you know, and they're going after each other for whatever reason. Some initiate that too. But for men, you know, there's a lot of program. And when you talk to the brothers, there's a lot of things going on, like anything else. You know, there's root causes for things. It's a mentality. It's how they were brought up. They may have been, as kids, they may have seen abuse in their families, and that's all they know. And some of it, and then on the other hand, it's alcohol and drugs, too. And then, you know, some and just the frustration of relationship, the frustration and pressures of even being married, and, you know, people just don't get along. So, you know, there's a lot of root causes to it, but, you know, there's also, but by the grace of God and the way the culture is changing, as we have advocates for domestic violence, you know, there's a lot of healing going on. You know, there's a lot of healing. I know of testimonies. I know testimonies on both sides. I know testimonies of couples who have overcome it like anything else. And then it was others that, you know, it was time to just break off the relationship and get out of relationships. And the thing I would just stress as we move forward in the conversation, that it's both partners. It's the male or female, you know, because, you know, even in the time, you know, for some reason, I'll say this, Apostle, we have to teach our daughters that they should not be physically attacking full-grown men and expect no consequences. I know that's hard, but, you know, everybody has their limitations. And once it gets physical, you know, I hate to I say this, and, you know, I say this firmly and seriously. In 95% of the cases, a woman is not going to win a physical confrontation with a full-grown man, especially when we talk about anger and emotions. So we have to get to a place where we're doing better in relationships and how we handle anger, handle our outbursts, handle our emotions, because it's wrong for everybody. But then, you know, we have there's a mentality out there, because I've sat in some counseling and talked to people who've been through, you know, there's women who say, you know, there's certain things you should not have done and push a man to that limit. And then it just starts a whole cycle of violence. It starts a whole cycle of everything else. But there's so much to it. And, you know, that's why we have to be, it's like anything else. Sometimes we have to be proactive in these things and consider and try and help people through, and help people with relationships and how people get into relationships and what good and bad relationship means. And it starts with, so a lot of times it starts with young folk, you know, because young people pick up habits when they're young, college, high school, and then it just carries over. And until you know it, they're 35, 40 years old, and they've been doing this craziness for 15, 20 years. What do you say, Apostle?
Right. excuse me. You said something that I want to address, but before I do that, and I agree with you, but I want to let this other caller also share before I go off on my tangent. beloved, 1-816. How are you, dear heart?
Praise the Lord, Apostle. This is Prophetess Kim. I'm great. Yes, I'm on my way to a meeting, and I almost didn't call in, but and I wanted to just share this topic. It was God, because I lived through domestic violence, and after 17 years of being married, I found myself with a man I no longer knew. And as the gentleman just said, it was a spiritual piece to it. It was alcohol. Mm-hmm. It was drugs. It was a lot of things involved. But he was not a lot of physical, but he threatened to kill me. It wasn't him. It was not his character or nature. So I was clear, but I was clear when I got out of it that if the devil had had his way through him, he would have killed me. I slept in my clothes, fully dressed, for an entire year because I was ready to flee at any moment. I had an escape plan for my children because it was just that crazy. And a lot of people say, why didn't you leave? Why didn't you this? It really threw me. It took me by surprise because this is a man who I've never seen act this way. But I'm saying this to make a point. As the gentleman said, I had a teenage daughter, and I had a teenage, well, my son was not a teenager, but I had to, you know, take a stand and say, because this is not the way you as a queen are supposed to be treated. And if I allow it, then I'm telling you this is acceptable. And I'm telling my son that this is how he's supposed to treat women. So I got out. I put him out. But it took time, and it was a process. And we had to go through a long healing process you know, because of what was experienced, because, you know, we all went through it. And like you said, it's not just the victim. It's everybody connected that goes through this and has to deal with the issues behind it. It's mental, it's emotional, it's a lot. And I would encourage anyone who's facing it to take precautions for yourself. Don't take it lightly, because this is a man I was married to for 17 years who had never been violent to me. So it's something that we have to take serious. We have to take it serious, and I'm clear. Now, I thank God he brought me through, and it's part of how he birthed even ministry for me, but that's not everybody's testimony. And I even wrote a book that I'm just releasing about my experience, and I share intricate details. I journaled, and I, because it was legal, so I journaled for 3 years because I knew if anything happened to me, I had to have legal documentation, and I shared, and a lot of people don't want to share with anybody because of shame, because of fear, but you have to share with someone so people know, because people will be praying and you need help, because you can get through it and you can get out of it. You know, we sometimes think I can't, especially as women, I can't start over. I have kids, or I can't get out of this, or it was just once. But it's not just once. It's something that triggers them, and it'll repeat, and it goes on and on unless they get some help or intervention. And this is not always the case, but I'm speaking generally because I lived through it. And for 3 years, I went through living hell, tormented in my own home by my own husband. So, you know, the struggle is real, and I even have a brother that I helped who was, he was also, we don't talk about the men who are in domestic violence, because for men it's really a stereotype, but I know a man who was abused by his wife, and he had to leave. She tried to stab him. So, you know, this thing is real, and like you said, the laws in Maryland are getting better, but protective orders are just a piece of paper to a psychotic mind. So you have to have things in place, because I had protective orders, and he still came and tried to beat the door down. So, you know, we have to take protective measures to protect ourselves in these situations, and know that there is hope, and God can get you through and get you out of these situations.
Amen. Darling, I am so thankful and so grateful, number one, that you were able to get out. Definitely grateful that you shared this today on this show. And like you said, it must have been God that you called in. And we want to have you back where we can specifically, you know, talk and again about and, you know, promote your book as well. Promote your book as well, because I know that it. Yes, I know that it would be helpful. And listen, also, baby, while I have you, go ahead and let them know about your conference that's coming up. Go ahead and put a plug in for that while you're on the line.
Amen. Let me say, the conference was actually this past Saturday. It was Saturday. But nevertheless, let me just say, and I will, if you don't mind, the book is called There Will Be Glory After This. And it's my personal testimony.
Yes.
It is my story. And I share, like I say, things that even my children who live with me had no idea, some of the things I was dealing with my spouse. And I share very openly. I mean, it's literally, I'm sharing my journal and I add things in. But it's a story, because when you read the story, it's not just the domestic violence piece, but I take you from beginning through what I went through and then the other side. It's also a story of healing, a story of forgiveness, a story of restoration, and how through the power of God, not just domestic violence, but specifically my story was domestic violence, but I pray that it's an encouragement to anybody facing an impossible situation, that God will get you through it, and that there will be glory after this. Whatever your this is, mine was domestic violence, and I didn't see how I was going to get out of it. But God brought me through, and I can truly say that I am greater and I am better because of it. It didn't feel good, But it worked for my good. So it was just released, in fact, last week at the conference. So I just thank God. And it is on Amazon. It's called There Will Be Glory After This. It's on Amazon. It's only $12. And, you know, I'm just, like I say, my son read it. And he was just, you know, he lived with me and he didn't know some of the things I went through. And he was just like, wow. I mean, he was just not as, he was in shock at what I experienced that he didn't know. But he, it also showed him how real God is, even in the midst of that hellish situation. So it gave him a different perspective of his mother and who God truly is, because I share, by the grace of God, we're on the other side of it now, and I know it's God that my children are in their right mind and successfully going through college and doing the things that they do. My testimony is, if I had any doubt that God is real because of what I got through, I know that he is a keeper and a sustainer, and he will protect you. And I'm not saying that we stay in situations and just pray. God will trust us, but we also have to use wisdom and get out of situations if we're in danger or being threatened, because it only takes one time for you to be 6 feet under. See, it was grace that kept me through it, but it's real, and we can't take it lightly. As my brother said, we need to reach out to avenues, resources, churches, counselors, and get help to get out of these situations, because it could very well cost you your life. So, amen, and praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, listening, as I'm listening to this, and what started me, you know, with this conversation, even what I don't know why I'm getting feedback here, but anyway, was the fact of how many women, how many women in the prison system are in there because they assaulted and or murdered their abuser. In self-defense, they murdered them. And they had records of countless calls to the police, calling their family, calling their churches, literally calling domestic violence agencies. I mean, I went online and looked all of this stuff up last night, and these women ended up killing the person that was abusing them. And with marks on their bodies, hospital records, medical records showing how they've been beaten and so forth and so forth, they still were found guilty of first degree, second degree murder, manslaughter, and so forth. In New York, 87% of the women in prison are there for killing somebody that was close, that was abusing them. It could have been their mother, boyfriend, husband, whatever the case may be, but someone was abusing them. These 7% of the women in prison in New York, in California, now this is really going to blow your mind, 93% of the women in prison injured somebody that was abusing them. It's unreal. It is totally, totally unreal. 70% of the people who are the abusers never get prosecuted. Never get prosecuted. But the women that defend themselves and end up hurting somebody, they get prosecuted. Now, folks, listen. I want you to understand this. They are not being prosecuted by, how do I want to put this? They're not being prosecuted by a jury of abusers. They're being prosecuted by people like you and I that are sitting on a jury stand people that work in corporate America, people that are ministers, people that are mothers, people, you know, average, ordinary people. These people are finding these women guilty of defending themselves, killing somebody who is beating their brains out, somebody that they got to run for their life for. This is what's going on. I'm thinking to myself, my God, what is wrong? What is wrong? They're no longer, there used to be a long time ago, a self-defense law. That doesn't exist in most of the states now. There is no self-defense law. It used to be if somebody, you know, walked into your home and you got a gun, you could shoot them and get away with it. It used to be if someone is beating you and you stab them, you shot them, whatever the case may be, to protect yourself, self-defense. And it didn't have to be your lover, your husband, your boyfriend. It could have been if you somebody tried to rob you in the street, attack you, self-defense. You didn't serve time for that. Not anymore. Not anymore. And I'm like, my God, what in the world has happened to us that so much so that the average, ordinary people are sending these women to prison? And definitely it's got to be understood that, you know, your jurors are supposed to be jurors of your peers. Well, obviously, be the jurors of their peers, because they would have had a juror of women who've been abused or men who've been abused sitting in that stand, who could tell the truth, who could listen to these stories and what's true and what's not true, who would take in consideration all of the evidence that they have from doctors and police calls. Man, the stuff I read online about the women who had called the police time and time again, and they would come to the house or apartment, take the man outside, talk to him for a few minutes, and let the brother, and their brother's not meaning racial, man, let the back in the house, you know, and then they would come and knock at the door and say, okay, Bob, what's going on now? Bob would tell him his story. That would be the end of it. Nothing's done. Man, I'm sorry. You know, I just had a little too much to drink tonight. All right, well, listen, keep it quiet. Your neighbors are complaining. This is the type of stuff. One of the stories on there said the woman was in the street. The man was beating her brains out in the street, and the police just drove by, didn't stop, didn't care, whatever the case may be. This is a serious, serious matter. So this morning, when I was saying this is the day that the Lord has made, let us rejoice and be glad in it. When I said there are some people who wish they didn't get up this morning, there are people in this kind of situation that, what do you mean this is the day that the Lord has made, let us rejoice and be glad in it? What do I have to be glad about? What do I have to be glad about? Let me also say that when Deacon Farr mentioned, and when Prophet Kim mentioned, that there definitely are agencies out here, you know, there are, and oh, that's, let me say this, there were some agencies, as I was reading all of this stuff, that they can't help you until you get out of the house and get to them, some of them. It's just a mess. But whatever the case may be, again, like I said, there are people that started organizations, even in prison, but started organizations for advocates for victims of abuse. Christy started her ministry, her organization, because of her daughter being murdered. A lot of good things of these situations. Prophetess Kim writing her book and putting it in detail so that some other woman or man would find hope and get delivered. Listen, that which the enemy meant for bad, God will turn it around so that good will come out of it. He will do that. There's a lot that some people will go through for the sake of someone else. And when I say that, it's because all that Prophetess Kim went through, all that Christy went through, as long as they give that testimony, as long as they do something with it, as long as they're sharing it, then their suffering has not been in vain. It has not been in vain. And so, you know, I know we've touched on a lot here already. I'm telling you that this is something that we are not looking at. We are not totally aware. We don't know what to do. That's the thing. We don't know what to do. Well, let's start with the first thing of getting the numbers to every place there is in your area that you can send people to, refer them to. Oh, listen, man, this is the one case that, just when I said that, this is the one case they got me. As the women that, or men that are in this particular situation, they're in the worst situation of all. This is where you have a person that is being abused being married to a police officer. Do you hear me? Cases I read last night. The woman is married to a police officer who is beating her brains out. The brothers, and I'm not talking about ethnic background, I'm talking about the brotherhood, they are not going to arrest him. So he gets away with it. He says, go ahead, call the police. I'm the police. Do whatever you want. I'm the police. I'm the law and order here. So where could she turn? They know all of the, what do you call those places, the homes that victims of abuse go to, like here in our area is the House of Ruth. But they know all the locations where the women are able to put for safe haven. They know the location. So even the organization couldn't help her and get her out and put her somewhere. Man, the husband, the cop, the officer would know where to look. He would know where to look. I'm telling you, these are some scary times. Things are getting better. More and more people understanding. But like Deacon Farr said, if you are being abused by somebody you're sleeping with, they call that different than if a stranger walked up to you and hit you in your face. That's different. Somebody could beat you and that you are married to and get away with it. And someone else can slap you, and that person can go to jail for assault and battery. There was one case I read about this woman spending 35 years in prison. 35 years in prison. She's spending that time there because of being abused by her husband. This man beat her. He literally took a hot iron that you iron your clothes with and burnt her from her face down to her ankles. Burned her. She went to the hospital and everything. Nothing was done about it. And then this particular day, the woman went and she purchased a gun. Because she did leave them, she left them, and she had to go back to the house, and she had children. She had to go back to the house to get something. And when she went back to the house, that man grabbed her again and beat her. And she said, enough is enough. and she shot him. All that she didn't know, a jury still found her guilty of murder. Still found her guilty of murder. And I guess because of the fact that she purchased the gun, and when it was premeditated, that's what they said, instead of it being a thing, I was defending myself. Saints of God, what in the world is going on? What in the world is going on? I tell you, churches, you know, who in the church wants to take in a mother and her children that the husband is beating up because you fear that he will come to your house and get her and her kids? He will beat you to get to her kids. Where do we step in? How do we help? How do we, you know, and I don't have the answers. I don't, and I'm one of those people, like if I bring up a topic about something, I want to have a solution. I really want to have a solution. I don't have the answers. I am going before God. I am praying. And you know, and you got to do more than pray. The woman that was the one woman that was in prison, and I said she started an organization. She wrote a letter to her councilman. She wrote a letter to her councilman, and somehow or another, he got the letter out to the news people. Not somehow or other, he got the letter out. Her whole community rallied together, and so forth and so on, and they got some laws changed. She is still in prison. She is still in prison. Folks, if she can do something from in the prison, we can do something out here. And we need not wait till it happens to one of ours to take some action. Sometimes that's what it takes. You know, that's what it takes sometimes. But I'm just pulling on y'all this morning. Pray and ask God how you can help. This one, and listen, I'm about to let someone else speak. I know y'all haven't heard much from my baby, Tanika. She has an appointment that she has to get to, a class that she has to get to. Darling, are you still there with us? Okay, she had a class this morning. So, you know, and I know, like I said, you haven't heard much from her, but she is, you know, with us on the line. I see her number. So she is with us. She just cannot, you know, speak. All righty. Last 4 digits, 3-1. Good morning, beloved. How are you?
Good morning, Apostle. Good morning. I'm great.
704 area code.
Hey, man, this is Prophet Crawford.
Hello.
Apostle, can you hear me?
Hello.
Apostle, can you hear me?
Okay. Let me try it one more time.
Hello, Prophet Crawford. This is Tabika. She's been having issues with her phone, so she may not be able to hear you. Apostle, can
okay.
you hear me?
I don't know why they're not coming in. I don't know why they can't hear me.
Yeah, she's having issues with her phone.
Good morning, George. Hello?
Go ahead and let me try calling her on the other line.
Wow.
Hold on, you guys. Hold on.
I don't know why my folks are not hearing me. Let me see here what I can do. Let me see.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, I hear folks now. I don't know
okay,
how we
I'm
got
right.
lost with one another. Okay, beloved, go ahead and speak, please.
Good morning, Apostle. This is Prophet Crawford.
Good morning, D. I can barely hear you, but I do hear you. Can you see if your phone is, if you can adjust your phone?
Can you hear me any better?
it's very weak on my end. Just one moment. Okay, go ahead again, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, man, can you hear me now?
Yes, sir, I can.
Okay. All right. I wanted to comment briefly on what you were talking about, where the church is at in all of this and why the church isn't stepping out more in regards to this. And I think part of that is simply because of the fact the church is so divided in so many things now that they don't really know how to address a situation like this. Part of the problem or part of the solution to me for the church is the church needs to just start to come together as a whole instead of it being individuals. The church just needs to start bonding together more and more to make the change and let their voice be heard. The church, unfortunately, and I've said this a number of times in different situations, the church, unfortunately, seems to have gone in the closet on a lot of things when people are coming out of the closet in so many different areas. And this is one area especially that the church needs to come out and stand out front and let their voice be heard. But if the church isn't willing to do that, mm-hmm. if the church isn't willing to bind together as a corporate body and stand up against some of this stuff, then it becomes harder and harder for us to find ways to solve the problem and find solutions that can help and to offer avenues of help for those that are in the midst of it. There are many of them that I'm sure would like to go to the church to try to get the church to help, but they see what the church is going through, and unfortunately, the church is dealing with the exact same thing, and the church can't figure out how to fix it. So the abusers mm-hmm. and the victims don't know how to go to the church because they're seeing the exact same thing happening in the church. So they don't feel like the church can even offer them what they need right now. The church needs, especially in a situation like this, the church needs to come out of the closet. They need to let their voice be heard and stop being silent in this situation. Years mm-hmm. ago, the church would be heard up front on a lot of these situations. Nowadays, you don't hear anything from the church. You don't hear anything from the clergy. You don't hear, even in all of the police, the officer-involved shootings of all of our black men. Once in a while, you hear, well, the clergy is come together on this. Well, why does it take something like that? Why isn't the clergy coming together to start with? The clergy is so afraid of losing their members that they're willing to be silent in this situation instead of stepping out and saying, this is wrong, and this is what we need to be doing.
You are absolutely right, Prophet. You are absolutely right. And let me say this, the young lady that had joined our church, Christy Johnson, that I said that started a nonprofit organization for, against domestic violence. This woman went around two churches to ask permission for the pastors, to join with her so she's able to bring the program into their churches so that the church would be prepared to help these people. Do you know she was turned down by just about every single church she went to? She was turned down. And like you said, people afraid to lose their members. We have domestic violence in the pulpit, just like it was with that woman in the police, with the police department, where her husband was the police. In the pulpit, there are pastors that are going home and beating their wives. But the churches that would, I welcomed her with open arms. But there, she said all of the churches that she went to from D.C. coming on up into Baltimore, there are many counties in between D.C. and Baltimore. She went to churches. They turned her down.
you know, this, like you said, this is something that has been hidden in the closet, and everybody else is coming out of the closet, and the church is getting deeper and deeper in the closet, dealing with certain things. Saints of God, and what you said, apostles, prophets, that, you know, the churches, we need to come together. We need to be a supportive force, you know, to work, you know, with these families and so forth, to do what we need to do to help see laws being changed. And listen. More folks than you know, there is a group of us that gets together dealing with the community issues with the police department and the community, and trying to find a common ground so we can work together and bring back the unity that once was there. And at these meetings, there are normally only five or six of us there. I've never seen it be more than 10. But the minute this group offered the training to carry weapons, so that, you know, number one, your money can be protected when people are going to banks because of all the shootings that are going on. You can have armed guards in your church and so forth. Now, we couldn't get these people to come out to our regular meetings, but the minute we offered this service, there were 56 ministers, pastors at that meeting. Find out the information so they can get guns. And I totally am not against it. I'd rather have a person armed that's going to be depositing our money, standing in our church, watching what's going on, and so forth, than to be uncovered. So I do not have anything against it. But they'll come out about the gun situation. How do I get a gun and be qualified to use it versus coming together also to help save lives? Isn't that what we as ministers are supposed to be doing? And it's not just saving your life spiritually. We are responsible to teach you, to train you, we're supposed to deal with the whole man. God did not make you a one-part man. We are trifold. We are trifold. And we have to take to your body, soul, and spirit. We got to take care of all of it. And we have gotten so heavy, so what is it? Don't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. Got so heavenly minded, or we can talk to you about this, that, and the other when it comes to what the Word of God says. But tell that to the woman that's sitting in front of you with her eye black and her nose broken, her fist, her hands all messed up because he done slammed his hands, her hands in the door, can't feed her children, beating her up while she's pregnant because he doesn't want another child, and we're telling them what the Word of God says. How do we help them in the natural, the physical, the right now? How do we apply the Word that are just talking about the Word? Saints of God, man, we're down to the last moment. Prophet, thank you so much for chiming in. I needed to hear, you know, from another person in the clergy, and I needed to hear your voice. I also wanted to hear from men on this situation. We're going to touch on this again, and prayerfully I'll have a panel put together so that we can talk on this and come up with some solutions. Babies, look, this is Apostle Etta Banks, your host here on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. My co-host was Minister Tabika Garnes. Praise be unto God. Thank you, woman of God, for being here for the time that you could. Thank you to Deacon Thomas Farr for stepping in and sharing information with us, for Prophet Crawford sharing information with us, for Prophet Kim, can't remember her last name right at this moment, but Prophetess Kim, praise be unto God. Get her book, go to Amazon.com. The name of the book is There Will Be Glory After This. Saints of God, let's do what we can do to bring the body of Christ to the place where it needs to be, to help those that we need to be helping, that God would be glorified, Satan would be horrified, and we are blessed. In Jesus' name,
amen and amen. So now, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. Then that person will turn around and bless someone else. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings that he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. Therefore, I beseech you in the name of Jesus that you go forth even this day and be a blessing unto someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. Know that I love you with all my heart, but no matter how much I love you, know that God loves you more. I love you, beloved. Take care. God bless you. And meet me back here again next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. God bless.